Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine for the week of October 18th. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. I've got questions as of Monday, and we're publishing on Thursday, October 21st. So two announcements before we start off. And again, if you have questions, send them to askcatherine@solier.com or post them in subscriber input. And we really appreciate your doing so. I want to point out that we have new commentary on the website. If you just put in the search bar something for Solaria Circles, you'll pull up instructions on how to join connect.solaria.com. We have the Take Action wrap-up coming out shortly. It should mail from the printers, if not at the end of this week, next week. And a lot of that is on how to get a Solaria Circle going in your place. We have about 30 groups now, over 300, approaching 400 people signed up, and we really encourage you to come on in and start to find like-minded people in your place. I think people have found it very, very helpful, and it's just started to really percolate and grow. I also put up a book review for the Wim Hof Method. It gets a Solaria Gold Star, and I think it is it's one of the best health books I've ever read, or wellness books. And he outlines a methodology, which is free. You can do it anywhere. It's simple. And I think it can be a major contributor to health. Ulrich Gonegger has been trying to get me to do the Wim Hof Method for years. And I just started about a week ago and 2 weeks ago. And I have to say, it's really wonderful. I have 5 to 15% more energy every day so far that I've been doing it. So, and I've only just begun. Anyway, check it out, the Wim Hof Method. Okay, let's start with cash and precious metals. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for everything you're doing for humanity. And you think we're going to have to start local currencies. And I agree with you. You're right. But we're going to have to grapple with both currency and equity. And of course, those will only work if we've got enough resources to do basic food, water, and energy locally. So yes, I think we can. I think the question is, will we have to do them in an environment which will be hostile? Or it will be friendly in a bad way. It's so invasive and we're all chipped that, you know, they'll basically be controlling our local currencies too. So we need to be prepared to succeed at this in a somewhat hostile environment if that's the way it works. But I agree with you. I mean, that's the work I was doing in the 90s. I thought local currency and equity were essential if we were going to restore the economy, but also if we're going to align the financial system with the environment. It's a great way to do it. It's a great opportunity. The next question is, somebody had watched a Rob Kirby presentation on the Exchange Stabilization Fund. I have a great interview with Rob on the Exchange Stabilization Fund in the library, and you can find it there. So you're saying that Rob is saying it's really the Treasury controls, not the Fed. This is an integrated machinery. So if you look at the New York Fed as agent for the Secretary of the Treasury, not for the Treasury Department, but for the Secretary of Treasury, manages and controls the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Now it's Treasury credit. But this is like two sides of a coin. And the question, of course, is who controls? And it's not Congress who controls. One of the reasons it's set up that the Secretary of Treasury controls with the New York Fed reporting to them directly is so, in fact, you can put in the right person and the central bankers will continue to control. And of course, who's the Secretary of Treasury right now? It's the former chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank. So I don't know. You know, I don't see this as being, to me, it's an integrated machinery between the federal credit and the ESF and the central bankers. And that's why the central bankers always insist on having a Secretary Treasury who's acceptable to them. If you FOIA Treasury, they have no documents. The bureaucracy has nothing to do with the ESF. It's totally controlled and operated by the New York Fed and their members as agent. If you want to understand this and the importance of the role of the ESF, I would read State of Our Currency, which was a 2019 wrap-up and sort of the big picture of what's going on with currencies. And then I asked John Titus to do Going Direct. So I would really familiarize yourself with the State of Our Currency presentation. And just realize this is an integrated machinery. And if anything, now the central bankers are asserting much tighter control over the Treasury functions, which is why if you look at who runs Treasury, again, it's the former chairman of the Federal Reserve. The number two guy is Larry Fink, former chief of staff at BlackRock, kind of says it all. So there is no such thing as a sovereign government in the United States right now. Dear Catherine, I have some inside information. You described the extent to which the regulators are moving in to control the local banks. That's absolutely true. You're wondering whether you should remain with the bank, and I have the whole description in the notes. I would say get a backup. Since you're no longer in the same state, I would definitely get a backup and split accounts. What you want to do, I put in a link to an article by Corey Diggs of one of the ways they're sort of getting control of all the data behind the, you know, sort of back door through Yodlee, which is a, you know, BlackRock lead investor. So you want to be careful to make sure whatever bank you go with, if they use this kind of stuff and the regulators are pushing it on them, that they keep all the data on their own server. They don't let Yodlee and these guys have the data on their server. So you want to make sure your data is private. Hi, Catherine. Can you recommend any books or parcellary overviews that give a good comprehensive explanation of the bond market, repo market, and I guess all ties into the stock market economy? So here's what I would do if I was going to do this. And in fact, it's basically what I did when I did it once upon a time. I would use Investopedia and Wikipedia to learn all the definitions and the basic framework for what is the bond market, what is the stock market, how big is the economy. I would look at the statistics available from the Securities Association, the World Bank, on how, on the size of the bond market, the size of the stock market, the size of the economy. Sometimes you'll have Wall Street Journal or For Dummies books that are good at giving you sort of definitions. And then I would make an organizational chart of your own. There's no good source. What you have to do is you have to connect the dots between how these different things relate to neighborhoods and government budgets and credits. I have an old curriculum that I did for high school kids called Economics 101, and it has some ideas and suggestions in it. But I think by mapping out an organizational chart yourself, you know, and keep it simple, you can basically come to understand how these things connect. Anyway, that's what I did. I had my entire living room covered with these big post-it notes that you can slap up on the wall. And I basically did an organizational chart of the entire economy from top to bottom. It was during the litigation and I couldn't figure out, you know, sort of how organized crime had 2 degrees of separation into every aspect of my life. And so I stepped back and I basically organized, I did an organizational chart on how all the money in the economy worked. It's very instructive. And speaking of one of the most recent questions, it was one of the ways I saw the importance and power of the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Hello, Catherine. I know it seems redundant to thank you every time I send an email, but I do. My question is this. A long time ago, we handed our financial lives and destinies to a small elite. How did we allow that to happen? One of the ways we allowed that to happen was we were up against far superior technology, including mind control technology, and we let go of our spiritual faith. And that was a lethal combination. And we chose material convenience, and the rest is history. As I said, the beginning of 2020, what are we going to do about the Beck brothers? Because we've let them have their way for 70 years. And as you can see, it's gotten out of control. And seeing how aggressively they are pushing their agenda globally, is there hope there will be enough of us to turn things around? I believe there's hope. But I think that the important thing to understand, if you haven't listened to the Gideon interview I did with Thomas Meyer, I would strongly recommend that. But the other thing is, if you understand the spiritual ramifications of what's going on, if you believe, let's just assume that you believe the Freedom Team is going to lose, then what you need to understand for spiritual reasons is you're much better off on the losing team than on the winning team. So if we win, then you're on the winning team. If we're the losing team, spiritually you win, so you're better off being on the losing team. So I never worry about, you know, can we win? Of course we can win. And faith is what creates the pathway. So if it looks like there's no pathway, you know, add more faith and the pathway can appear. Now, will it work? I don't know, but I'm perfectly happy if it does not work to be on this team, because you have to understand, you don't want to be on the other team. You do not want to be on the other team. A question, detailed explanation for first-time investors on buying 5 to 10,000 in silver coins. What type of coin, how and where to buy, run through proper procedure and what to look for to stay under radar as well as not get cheated. Finally, how to trade silver for real estate. Okay, if I was in this situation, I would listen to our old audio seminar with Franklin Sanders on investing in silver and gold coins. I put a link to it. We also have a ton of best of precious metals market reports with Franklin Sanders, which I would also listen to. The other Salieri report I would listen to is Hidden Safes with Dan Perkins, about between Franklin and Dan. They go into sort of how to hide your coins. Let me make a couple of comments that I want to underscore. But again, don't do it based on what I'm going to tell you. You should go listen to those interviews with Franklin. Okay, so there's several comments I want to underscore, but again, listen to the audio seminars because they have much more detailed information. Number one, if you're in the United States, I would buy either 90% silver. It's legal tender, and so I like having 90% silver around, or 1 ounce rounds. The advantage of 90% silver is you can get coins that are less than 1 ounce, so smaller denominations. Anyway, for the 1 ounce rounds, you decide if you want sovereign coins or trustworthy rounds. It's your call. What I would focus on is getting the lowest premium to melt price. And Franklin will go over that in the audio seminar. But you want to pay as close to spot, because you just want to pay for the metal. You don't want to pay for the, you know, any of the other sort of, you don't want to pay for the the fancy die on the mint. Okay, so you just want to pay as close to spot price. Talk to two to three dealers and determine the lowest pressure, the lowest premium to melt. I use Treasure Island in North Dakota, as well as Volunteer Precious Metals in Tennessee, if you want to have them shipped in, unless you're nearby. If you're in Northern California and can go by, I'd go to Foster's Coin Shop. Some of the best prices subscribers have ever gotten is they build relationships with pawn shops that are trustworthy and then just regularly pick up coins. That's usually when it's better to do 90% silver or sovereigns, because it's easier to check the quality. But if you use a good dealer, then you should be assured as to quality. And you need to decide whether you're going to buy them locally or mail. The problem with getting in the mail or delivery services is then the mail service and the delivery service knows you got that package. Sometimes they'll know it's precious metals, or they'll figure it out. So their place is having your mail delivered to can make it dangerous, you know, because they know you've got it at home. Or you can pick it up locally, but then that person knows you've got it. So you need to think through the confidentiality. I'd have some of my old clients who'd get a post office in a different jurisdiction and have it mailed there, then take it home. But you want to think through the sort of the issues of who knows you have this. Again, I would listen to the Hidden Safes interview we did with Dan Perkins. It gives you some great ideas on where to store it. The way people lose money on precious metals, in my experience, is they forget where they put it. Don't laugh. It's happened to me. So you want to make sure you keep a record of where you put it, or somebody you know and trusts knows how to find it if anything should go wrong, if you should, you know, die in a car accident, etc. You want to make sure you have a good place to store it, and you don't lose it because you store it in the wrong place. And you want to make sure you don't store it where the plumber is going to come in. I had a client who had $65,000 of silver in the basement, had the plumber come fix something, and then realized 2 months later, uh-oh, and checked, and of course the silver was gone. You need to think through where you're going to put this stuff. You've asked about how to trade silver for real estate. That's not my bailiwick, but Franklin Sanders has a great newsletter called The Money Changer. And if I were you, I'd check with a money changer and see what they have on that topic or what they would recommend. Check out the audio seminar, Precious Metals Investing in Silver and Gold Coins, and I put the link in the notes. Comment: plaintiffs have demonstrated their commitments to the United States Constitution, the nation's further comfort, security, and prosperity. The court should demand that the nation return the favor. This is the Pentagon faces class action lawsuit over vaccine mandates on military, federal employees and contractors. Any proof that we wanted to believe that the U.S. military is trying to globalize itself and destroy any patriotic connection between the military and the U.S. people? I mean, this is so ugly to watch. It's frightening. But if we let $21 trillion get stolen, then these are the logical next steps. John Titus and I described this and other pushback against the mandates and money markets, so you might want to check that out. Hi, Catherine. A terrifying interview by LightSight News with a doctor in the Dominican Republic, and the new laws passed yesterday. No, if you're not double jabbed, no public transportation, no bank, no store-bought food. That's the problem of being the weaker, the sovereignty of the country, the easier they can be forced to do this. Hi, Catherine. This is not a question. It seems the best way to get information to you. So this was a link to one of the videos on what's in the injections in terms of creepy technology. This is not one that I posted. I don't trust it yet. It is clear from the redactions that there are mysterious ingredients. We don't have full disclosure on what is in these injections, and that prevents informed consent. And so that's one of the reasons I can't believe these injections are being given, because you have to provide informed consent. You can't provide informed consent if the ingredients are mysterious. Now, I have two questions. One is there human embryo tissue or organ tissue in these ingredients? And, or was it used to test them? And is there advanced technology such as graphene oxide? So those are unanswered questions. We don't know. I believe there is some kind of advanced technology, and I'll bet you dimes to donuts, HEK is probably in there as well, but we don't know. And I would be extremely careful, because there is a huge amount of disinformation that keeps people from figuring out what's in here. And it's taking up a lot of bandwidth and space. So I'm extremely careful on what I will post, even in unanswered questions. There's a new series of articles from Rappaport. I have one of them up on the homepage, and I would definitely read it. Rappaport is on the trail of whether HEK is in these injections or was used in the testing of them. And I think I can't tell you what an important mission I think that is. So just special prayers for Rappaport. Hi, Catherine. I want to send a link to an interview. The physician found an unknown organism in a Pfizer vial. This is a link to her website. No public comment is necessary. Bring up a Polish doctor who also found ingredients. I'm trying to check him out. The one recommendation I got was that he has strong credentials, but I'm still trying to check him out. And I say this again. Now, one of the things I think it's important is, if you're new to this, if you listen to our Clifford Carnicom interviews on what was in the Global Sprang, or you listen to our interview with Don Huber, wonderful food scientist, research scientist, on the unusual particles that are in our food, you know, we've been getting creepy technology in our air and in our food now for a long, long time. So although this is a very uncomfortable discussion, it's not a new one, but it's one we need to have. And so the questions of whether they're creepy technology in these vaccines is not anywhere near as unusual as you might think, given what has been ingested from the Sprang or from, you know, nano dust kind of particles in foods or other products. So I think this is I think it's unbelievably important to get to the bottom of what are the mystery ingredients in these injections. But I think we have to be careful about the potential for disinformation here. Catherine, I'm writing to see if you have access to resources who can help find experts for the following. So you're looking for affidavits that can attest to the fact that if you have prior immunity, it's not good to get the injection. So I've reached out to Doctors for COVID Ethics to find out if there are existing affidavits that might be usable. So stay tuned. Another person asked about the creepy technology in the injections, and then asked the question, can the creatures, and they're talking about, I think it was the Polish doctor who saw sort of engineered life forms, but that are living, also wondering if those can get made with the help of HEK. But anyway, so you're talking about these life forms. The question is, can the creatures survive once the host is dead? And I think that is an exceptionally important question, and I'm going to think about that. Also going to see if it applies to the Morgellons, you know, sort of the Morgellons worms, because I wouldn't be surprised if it's the case. Anyway, so I would appreciate your question. And if you have any more thoughts or information about that line of thinking, I would really encourage you to send them. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for doing this weekly. It's great to know that on a weekly basis, the doctor is in. Regarding the mandate for federal employees, I fall into a contractor category. I'm dealing with an employer that is trying not to risk losing a large portion of their business by instituting a company-wide mandate. What potential risks do you see when pursuing a religious exemption? If you truly qualify, I don't see a risk if you're a religious person and that becomes unfashionable to be a religious person later on down the road. You're not going to keep it a secret anyway. I think the problem is religious exemptions sort of exempts out a lot of the most ornery people. It lets the mandate system go further. And then, of course, once they get control, they'll just pull the exemptions. So if that's the case, and I think it's highly likely, you're better off biting the bullet now and creating an independent situation than getting another year or two. Now, if you do get another year or two by getting an exemption, for God's sake, save your money and build an independent situation. Because I think, you know, they'll pull that, I expect they'll pull that door. Now, interestingly enough, given what Rappaport is up to and trying to see if there's a connection to HEK, if it turns out that there is one, you know, the whole world could get a religious exemption and it could really blow things up. I, for one, would prefer not to work for anyone who would mandate a poisoning in violation of the Nuremberg Code. You know, I just think once you do that, you're over the line of law and ethics and it's a slippery slope down. You know, if a company has got to violate the Nuremberg Code to stay in business, then it's not really a company. You know, it's a slave to organized crime. Hello, Catherine. Why is the media promoting the narrative that the reason there is a supply chain interruption in auto electronics and other durable goods is because there is a shortage of semiconductor chips? Could it be because the chip manufacturers had to design and gear production of new semiconductors that talk to the central control smart grid that go into every new home appliance, cell phone we use in daily life? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Part of the pressure on the semiconductor industry is the extraordinary control grid and the smart grid. But I would point out the Treasury Department is now blaming it on the unvaccinated. They're saying all of the shortages will stop when everybody's vaccinated. So no vaccination, no Santa, no Christmas. Then somebody sent in a picture for Echo cars that are lined up in the dump in France. It's frightening. You know, I have one subscriber who knows a lot about the problems with the batteries. And every time I hear of all the environmental waste and damage that's being done in the name of climate change, it's just frightening. Hi, Catherine. I just lost an email. I was at a tail end of composing. And then this is a person, I'm not going to read the whole thing, who had a remarkable journey cleaning up her school board. It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, what is it? The Dalai Lama says, if you think one person is not enough to do something, you know, or you're too small to do something, spend the evening with a mosquito. It's remarkable what you've done. It's so impressive. Anyway, I really hope you get on Connect and join or start a Solaria Circle in Missouri. You're in Missouri because you're doing great things. And I'm going to post we posted the file of what you sent, the program guide for your school. Anybody here is on the school board or getting on the school board, you might want to take a look. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for what you do. I'm tempted to post a link to Planet Lockdown on my neighborhood social media page. There would be no way to make it anonymous. Would this be dangerous for me and my family? I don't know your neighborhood, so I don't know. You can always ask a question. One of my old college roommate sent it to me. And if you look at this person's resume, they're very credible, but I don't know. Do you think this could be true? You know, so if you post it, you can always post it that way. I don't think it's dangerous, but I don't know your neighborhood. Hi, Catherine. I hope this finds you well. I'm in Australia and have just gotten out of Brisbane and moved up to the coast to get out of the city. And then you are doing a study course on Steiner and you love the Spiritual Academy. We just put up Thomas Meyer's next recording and we'll put another one up in November. So we have another one in the can. And you wrote something on spiritual war that is really good. This is really, really good. And I'm putting the whole thing in the notes. And I just have to tell everybody, I encourage you to read this because this is a really, for people who don't want to go out and march or don't want to fight at the school board, you know, this thing can be won in the war room. You know, I love the movie War Room. And you do a great job of describing how essential it is that we turn this thing around energetically and what that means to each one of us. So I think it's a remarkable document and I thank you for sending it. Hi, Catherine. Then somebody asked me about Anna von Rietz, which is a website dedicated to sort of turning things around legally. I have looked at some of her material, but I have generally ignored legal actions of these kinds because, in my experience, the people I'm dealing with don't respect them. They don't respect any law, but there are legal actions that can be powerful if combined with financial actions. So I'm in a period when I'm going to get a lot more interested in legal actions, and we'll be talking about them in connection with taxation next week. Question: I just finished watching the third quarter wrap up. I listened to segments in order to digest all the information. I'm concerned about NATO establishing its North American headquarters right here in Norfolk, Virginia. There's no doubt that the U.S. military is being globalized, and that's all part of it. I'm not concerned with that one step, but if you look at all the different things that are going on, including the mandates to try and poison a lot of our military, I think the combination is, I mean, the reality is they're globalizing the U.S. military, and it's a coup. It's a financial coup. Catherine has stated the two best states to weather are Texas and Tennessee. Now, that's not what I remember saying. I remember saying that if I was going to pick a state, the states on the list would be Utah, Idaho, Tennessee, Texas, North and South Dakota, and possibly Florida. And then you said, given the Tennessee governor's executive order, which would greenlight mercenaries, is that a problem? That's a big problem. That was a horrible. I do think the state legislature is pretty good and could ultimately stop it. Have we carefully compared this situation against, say, Missouri or South Dakota or Arkansas or Oklahoma? Oklahoma, in some of the recent write-ups, gets very high marks. Now, I've had very bad experience with Oklahoma in several respects, but and of course, the land in Arkansas and Missouri is beautiful. I think South Dakota is good. So here's what I say argues for Tennessee: it has low per capita debt, it has high state and local pension funding. It's a high percentage of Christians who I think are not on board for, genocide in a variety of ways because of their faith and their ethics. You have a very good legislature historically, and you have strong commitment to the Second Amendment and a very well-armed population. You have some aspects of the economy that are good, a lot of small business, a lot of small banks, and very high quality of water and farmland. So I think those argue for Tennessee, but Tennessee's not always perfect. So, and there's no doubt that the governor's executive order was pretty frightening. Question: in the October 7th interview with Farrell, I think in the context of the stuff going on in Australia and Antarctica, Catherine quipped that some or all of these processes likely started on October 9th. And your question was, what was that about? That's about the passage of FASB 56. I put the link to an article about that. And we had talked about FASB 56 and when it had passed several times in the conversation, which is why I referred to it without referring to it specifically by name. But it's a good reminder that I should do that. Next question: in a hypothetical future of genetically engineered transhumans or human-like hybrids, could the resulting society allow free movement in an interaction of different species castes? I have absolutely no idea. How can empathetic humans introduce these topics into governance and legal discussions before it's too late? I think we just start talking about it and bringing it up. I mean, that's what we all have to do. We have to start the conversation. The shared intelligence has to address this, and we do it by praying about it and talking about it and learning about it. The other thing is we highlight the, sort of the creepy technology that's been in the food and been in the spraying. And then we get to the bottom of what the mysterious ingredients are in the injections. So I just keep thinking we chip away at this. So start talking about it. So ships are pulling up at Long Beach, waiting to get unloaded. The port is jammed full of containers with no place to stack more. The liberal media is blaming it on the trucking industry while the nation's store shelves are becoming bare. Well, here's more to the story. Could Gavin Newsom and California's liberal trucking laws be to blame? The news says the California port situation is caused by a driver shortage, not so fast. It is in part caused by a California truck ban, which says all trucks must be 2011 or newer, and a law called AB5, which prohibits owner-operators. Traditionally, the ports have been served by owner-operators, non-union. California has now banned owner-operators. Long-term truckers in California are not investing in new trucks because California has a law that makes them illegal in 2035. The requirement is to purchase electric trucks, which do not exist. And in the words of Paul Harvey, now you know the rest of the story. just another reason why I want nothing to do. It's right out of Atlas Shrugged. It's just right out of Atlas Shrugged. Anyway, you sent some links on the games they're playing. Okay, CARB to begin blocking certain trucks' DMV registrations in 2020. Carriers domiciled in California with trucks older than 2011 mile or using engines manufactured before 2010 will need to meet the board's new truck and bus regulation beginning in 2020. Their vehicles will be blocked from registration. The state has said the new health-based requirements will need to be met before a driver is allowed to register his or her truck through the Department of Motor Vehicles. CARB says a new enforcement tool used by the DMV beginning in 2020 will automatically block 2010 and older trucks from registration. Anyway, great comments. This is how the boys do it, you know? Make 1,000 invisible rules and watch everything stop. You know, when they want to crash the stock market or cryptos, these are all the tactics that get used. Hi, Catherine. We live in California and would like to buy farmland with a pre-existing home within the state if possible. Are there any resources, co-ops, groups of like-minded people you can recommend? I keep being told by various groups that they're hunkering down in Grass Valley or some of the states, some of the areas above San Francisco. I don't know, 2, 3, 4 hours north of, say, the Golden Gate. You say, do you feel like staying in the state is ill-advised or dangerous, no matter how rural like-minded the immediate community is? I mean, here's my feeling. You know, I left 2000. I had a business out in California and used to spend part of my time in California. I left in 2014 because the corruption was just too completely out of control. And I just said, you can't do business in a state like this. And then if that wasn't the last straw, Paradise was the last straw, because I don't know how many people got genocided in the burning of Paradise. But if you can burn down a whole town and kill thousands of people and then get everybody to pretend it didn't happen, that's not a place for me. Dear Catherine, I'm trying to find out if there are any celery circles in Germany. I've written to Darlene and customer service, but have not heard back. There are in Germany. In fact, the person we now just put in charge of running Connect, she is Canadian, but she is currently living in Germany. So I'm gonna put you in touch with her. Anyway, so if you put in a ticket at support on anything having to do with Connect, because Su Ling is on board, you should get a much faster response. Anyway, sorry about that. Comment, truly sick people, reminds me of how in Ireland they used to tax the small cottages of the peasants based on the size of the windows as they were breathing the Queen's air. So this is a new great article from Whitney Webb on the launch of a new asset class. We talk about it in Money and Markets. You'll be hearing more from this. It's pretty frightening. The reality is the leadership, with all the money they've stolen, are now going to create corporate municipalities, and this is just the beginning. Then somebody says, hospitals are now run like prisons. Security everywhere, can't be with family or friends. Family members dying alone. Why? I think you know why. And you don't need to ask. You just need to make alternative plans. These are not, you have an image of a hospital as a place that tries to help people get well. And that's not what these are. So again, we all need to make alternative plan. Then somebody said, have you seen the movie G-Force? It's about a billionaire using household appliances to control people. It's about a group of guinea pigs who decide they're going to stop it. No, but it looks pretty funny. I looked at the trailer. But I know what billionaire they're probably stopping. Subject, only 55%. And this is Texas. So we still have lots of work to do with still many people mind controlled. I didn't get a link with that, but I can imagine what it is. Dear Catherine and team, I respectfully ask that you view and share this important video. So I did watch it and I did post it. It's of a mother and a 16-year-old talking about what happened in an Oregon City high school. It was supposed to be a biology class, but it turned out to be a mind control class. And so they sort of describe what happens. I mean, here's the reality. We must homeschool. There's no point in trying to get along or work within government-funded schools. We have to pull out and create our own schools. And it's a tax issue. Why are you going to pay real estate taxes to fund the schools when you can't use them? But we must homeschool. There's no point in trying to do this. The other thing is, if you don't understand the mind control technology that is operating this society, you need to get yourself educated. And I put the link to a commentary, mind control tactics used on young people and children. And everybody needs to educate themselves about this and learn how to protect themselves as best we can. Question, you spoke about it, and here it is. The pushback continues, and this was a group of parents who brought a $200 million lawsuit to the school board. I think it's really funny. They're talking about how well the school board got paid. We got to keep bringing it back to the money. We got to connect the dots to the money. Then somebody posted an interview with Whitney Webb. Webb is doing great work. There's no doubt about it. She just had a great interview with Titus that's posted on the website. So I thank you for that. This info may save lives. This is Thomas Levy on how to protect yourself if you got the injection. Protect yourself in terms of problems with the spike protein. And so he's very good. He did an interview on the Salieri Report with Bridget Mouchet last year, and it was very, very good. So I will go ahead and post that. The French finance minister issues a declaration of independence from the U.S. The French and the U.S. are really going at it. And the French are feeling their oats because with Merkel gone, they're asserting more leadership within the European Union. So it's interesting to see what happens. Problem is the Macron has an approval rating that's probably worse than even Biden's. Soon all staff and visitors to zoos will require vaccination. Next, it will be every dog, cat, and pet to save our pets. Somebody sent in a link of the snow leopard in Sioux Falls getting COVID-19. Anyway, then somebody sent a picture. I'm not sure what the picture is about, so I put a big question mark. Our team could have just forgot to put in the link. Anyway, again, thank you for your comments and questions. Please check out the Wim Hof Method book review on the website. This is a method you can do anywhere, any place. You don't have to buy anything. You can just do it. I've been doing it for 2 weeks, and I got to tell you, it's working. So I'm going to keep doing it. But check out the Wim Hof Method. His nickname is the Iceman. So get ready for cold showers. And then if you haven't joined Connect, the link is in the notes, and we'll put it in Ask Catherine. And definitely get on Connect and start connecting with people, like-minded people in your place. And finally, don't forget to use cash on Friday. And if you can use it every day, that would be great. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on Ask Catherine. Have a wonderful day.